It is time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And in this week's Phenology Show, we're going to look back over the past week and bring up some notes of some things that we've seen. A week ago today, I had a report from another good phenologist, Dallas Hudson, who lives in the Akeley area, said that he found a raccoon or saw a raccoon that had become roadkill. And this is the season. Raccoons are not true hibernators in the sense that they don't drop their body temperature significantly. They don't drop their respiration. They just sort of get a lot quieter and maybe sleep for a couple of weeks. If it's cold out, they'll maybe sleep a little longer. But at some point, they're going to wake up and feel a little hungry, and they're going to go out and try and find some food. And so occasionally, they end up like the skunks along the highways and end up getting squashed by cars. We had, speaking of skunks, Dallas smelled a skunk last week on Tuesday, and we had reports from Kellyer and from Duluth by the students who had come across skunks in one place or another. And the skunks are hibernators, but this is the time of year that the males wake up and come out of their hibernation and start looking for females. The mating will take place this month, and once the mating is done, the males will retreat to their own hibernacula, and the females will go back to resting in their hibernacula, and ultimately, along about sometime in April, the females will emerge and give birth, and then there will be lots more little skunks around. And lest you make the mistake that I did as a young man, I found a skunk one time trapped between two rails of a train track. Got over one rail, got in between the rails, and wasn't big enough to climb up over the rail and get out. Was trapped between the two rails. Now, that's a small animal, right? It's about the size of it's probably smaller than a red squirrel. I went and got gloves, got some big heavy leather gloves, and I went down and I reached down and I picked him up, and I gently was about to move him over the rails when he sprayed me. And this skunk, like I say, was smaller than a red squirrel, but he had all the equipment that skunks have and knew how to use it. And so he sprayed me, and rather than just set him gently on the ground on the other side of the rails, after he sprayed me, I just sort of went, oh, and gave him a pitch. But he landed safely, and I'm sure he's got a story to tell about the guy with the big leather gloves who picked him up one day, and how he fought him off, bravely repulsed the attacker. That would be me. Yeah, I was not a welcome cohort to my friends who were living in the same space as me. They were keeping their distance, and I couldn't blame them. I smelled a lot like skunk that day. Not the first time, probably not the last, although it's been a while since I've actually mixed it up with a skunk. Who knows? Life is full of surprises, and perhaps another surprise awaits me in the field of skunks. My friend Sean Conrad, who is a local birder and a pretty interesting all-around guy, reports that there are lots and lots of snowy owls in the northwestern part of the state. So if you live in the Bemidji area, you might want to just head out of town and get into some of those prairie areas and see if you can't spot a snowy owl. You might end up heading a little bit northwest to Bemidji, but there are quite a few snowy owls in that country right now, and they should remain there for a little while before they start moving north to their native lands, where they will spend the summers. The snowy owl, of course, is that large white owl, which is unmistakable when seen, smooth round head, and just always there. Lots of lots of beauty in that big white bird. And I hope that one day one will cross my path again, because they are certainly spectacular and really interesting to watch. I heard coyotes howling on the 5th, and on the 6th I found pussy willows. We had a number of reports of other people who ran into pussy willows as well, and they are definitely starting to emerge. The first furry buds will be cracking open and showing up white against the white background, so you're going to have to be fairly sharp-eyed to pick them up, but you will find some pussy willows if you go out and look for them. Nothing will happen with those until April. They will remain just these little tight, furry little buds. Now, the fact that they're furry little buds is typical of early blooming flowers. So if you look at, for instance, the leatherwood, which is an early blooming flower, the bud on that is very furry, and the bud on the pussy willow is very furry. And in fact, later this month, and perhaps by next week, we may have the emergence of furry little buds on the aspen trees, which are members of the willow family, and the male flowers emerge as these furry little aments. They're called catkins. They're these buds just a lot like the ones that you see on the pussy willows, and they will also emerge, but remain quite small for several weeks. That furry bud is furry for a reason. It traps and holds heat. When the sun shines on a fuzzy little bud like that, it warms the flower, and it allows them to get their early start that they need for getting their flowering done early in the spring. So watch for the pussy willows, watch for the aspens, and others. So there will be a lot of furry little buds coming out here in the next month or so. I was driving into town the other day, coming along the River Road, and I was getting close to the downtown area in Grand Rapids when I noticed a couple of ducks flying along, and I got a kind of a good look at them and decided that they must be common golden eyes. We have golden eyes that spend the winter on our open water, and these were they flew a lot like golden eyes, and they had the right size and so forth. So I think that we were probably looking at common golden eyes flying along. And if you are near any open water in northern Minnesota right now, you are probably in a position to see common golden eyes, or to see trumpeter swans. We had a number of reports of trumpeter swans over the last week, and these birds, they are hardy and willing to stay the winter if there's water available, if there's open water available. Most trumpeter swans and common golden eyes will stick around through the winter. So you may see these large white trumpeter swans, or you may see these white and black common golden eyes on the water, and this is a good time of year to kind of pay attention. Anytime you go by open water, you should be looking carefully, because there's an awful lot of activity that comes to water. Water is like a magic drawing card in the winter, where a lot of animals will gather. My neighbor Marvin Beer and I have been watching the red squirrels, and last year there was a real paucity of cones. There wasn't a very good cone crop, and the red squirrels normally would be cutting the cones off of the Norway pines and the white pines and storing them in these piles called middens, and then returning to the middens during the winter to eat. Well, last year there weren't many cones. It was a really bad year. And right now, Marvin and I have noticed that the squirrels are cutting the last, 3, 4, 5 inches of branches off of the white pines and then eating the bud. So what we are seeing on top of the snow is this litter of short white pine branches. And every one that I picked up and looked at, the new bud at the end of the branch was missing. So those squirrels are cutting those off and eating those buds. And they're doing it with white pines. And now they've moved on to Norway pines as well. And one would probably expect that if jack pines are in your neighborhood, that may be what they're doing there. But if you have pines in your yard, look at the ground cover underneath. And if you see a lot of little short branches down there, pick up a few and look at the ends of them and see if the bud is missing, because I think that that's what the squirrels have turned to for food now that the cone crop sort of left them high and dry last fall. I saw a pair of common ravens in their courtship flights, and they are absolutely gorgeous to watch. They get out there and they do all these fancy little flying maneuvers. That there'll be a pair of them, and they'll really be having a good time. Looks like a lot of fun, and it also serves to bond the birds closer together. So watch the ravens. Crows will be joining them soon by the end of this month, first part of March. Watch for crows carrying sticks in their beaks. When they begin to want to nest, they sort of pass that message on to the females. The male birds will pick up a stick and start flying around with it, and it's their way of telling the females, hey, about time we built a nest and got started with our family. The ravens, on the other hand, will be nesting probably by the end of this month. And if the winter stays in the sort of shape that it's in, we'll probably see ravens nesting by the end of February. Final note, the great horned owls are still calling. I was out the other night, and I could hear them talking to one another, the male and the female calling back and forth. And that will be coming to an end very soon as those birds begin to nest. And once they decide to nest, It'll be the end of the hooting chorus. They'll get real quiet after that. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, if you have comments, questions, or observations to share, please get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you.
You can get a Phenology podcast, including John's report that you just heard, in case you might have missed it, or the Student Phenology Report. Sign up for that at our website, kaxe.org.